This is a Catholic Concern for Animals podcast. Readings from the Ark, Spring 2022 edition, read by Dr. Gerald Taylor. Is Making Non-Human Animals Suffer Our Worst Addiction? An essay in two parts by John Berkman. Introduction. The opposition to the cruelty of fox hunting in the UK and the degree of publicity it has generated reminds me of an old Bob Dylan song. Steal a little and they throw you in jail. Steal a lot and they make you king. While fox hunting gets the publicity, industrial farming is where cruelty on a vast, almost unimaginable scale goes on daily. While the RSPCA is rightly out looking for fox hunters to give them citations, who is out watching the factory farming industry? If you treat a few animals callously, say torturing a few cats, you can be cited for animal cruelty. However, if you cage millions of animals in small spaces where they can hardly move, mutilate them by cutting off their beaks, tails and or horns, brand them with hot irons, castrate them, genetically engineer their bodies, and breed them with techniques that result in a lifetime of severe pain, you are unlikely to ever get penalised. In a cruel twist of fate, those at the forefront of these enterprises of cruelty are typically rewarded with significant wealth and influence. In the United States, corporations that run factory farms have become powerful enough to persuade many US state legislatures to explicitly exclude all farm animals from any kind of animal cruelty legislation. Even with government protection, factory farms typically operate under a cloak of secrecy. They are set up in remote places and surrounded with fences and barbed wire so that no outsiders can see what goes on. Recently, industry supporters have also convinced US state legislatures to pass laws against photographing or taking video of the conditions in these places. And you wonder why you don't know where your meat comes from and how it was produced. In the face of these harrowing conditions, and the industry's attempt to hide their vast animal cruelty, this essay contends that factory farming is immoral. Furthermore, once we become aware of this wanton cruelty, we must refuse to participate in it, in part by choosing not to buy or eat meat from factory-farmed animals. Factory-farmed meat is, if we are honest, cruelty meat, and it behoves us to find whatever alternative is necessary. In part one, I described the history and character of factory farms in America, showing that animal cruelty is not only as necessary in North American factory farming as it is in fox hunting, but in fact it is far worse. In part two, I argue why all of us living in wealthy Western cultures, especially Catholic Christians, ought not to participate in this widespread and mindless cruelty to animals. Turning to a form of argument that has historically been, and continues to be, an essential part of Catholic moral teaching, I show that supporting factory farming by buying and or consuming its products is formal cooperation with wrongdoing, which no morally serious or upright person ought to do. Christians have a particular obligation not to cooperate with the wrong of factory farming, not only out of respect for God's laws, but also because such participation, once recognised and understood, corrodes their character and undermines their ability to criticise or resist other kinds of evil. Part 1. The History of Factory Farming. So, what is factory farming? To answer this, we need to ask two other questions. How are factory farmed animals treated? And when did this system come about? To keep my argument focused, I will discuss only the factory farming of pigs, since among the various farm animals, A, they are the most consistently factory farmed after poultry. For example, more than 95% of pigs in America are on factory farms. B, they are very harshly treated. And C, they are the most social, loyal and intelligent, evidently more intelligent than dogs, for example, of factory-farmed animals. As such, factory-farmed pigs arguably suffer the most from their harsh treatment, and along with poultry, probably receive the cruelest treatment. A factory farm is a highly intensified system for raising animals for meat, dairy, or egg production. The basic philosophy is to turn the farm into a mechanical system that needs as little labour and skill as possible to produce the greatest quantity of meat for the lowest cost. Typically, this means a large-scale economy. Get big or get out has been the mantra of farming for decades. What is perhaps hard to believe, and thus important to note, is that in the logic of factory farms, the welfare of animals receives no intrinsic consideration. The only reason to halt or lessen cruel treatment to animals is if the degree of mistreatment leads to an increasing cost to the end product. If the pigs are stuffed so close together that some are regularly smothered, just toss the dead ones into a dumpster. If disease breaks out, give them antibiotics to stave off the illness until the upcoming slaughter. If a pregnant sow has a broken leg, leave her in her pain until the piglets are born, then kill her because mending her leg is not cost-effective. Are the pigs so crowded, hungry and stressed that they start chewing on each other's tails? Dock their tails and grind down their teeth without using anaesthetics. Worried that a sow might smother her piglets when she rolls over in her sleep because her space is too small? Rather than give her more space, make her completely immobile by putting her in a metal crate for months, perhaps even strap her down to the floor. That way she cannot roll over at all. Although giving more room to her and her piglets would reduce their suffering, such a move adds to costs and cuts into profit. Such is the inexorable logic of the industrial production system when applied to intelligent mammals who have emotions, habits, desires and needs, and yet who are nevertheless made to suffer ad nauseam in this system. The situation actually worsens when it comes to slaughtering factory farm pigs. Even though pigs can live from 10 to 18 years and do not reach maturity till they are 3 or 4 years old, most pigs sent to slaughter are only 6 months old. They are still piglets, but selective breeding and intensified feeding cause them to grow faster than their bones naturally allow. This fast growth causes enormous stress on a pig's body, but waiting even 3 years is not economically desirable for large corporations. Although slaughterhouse conditions differ, we can get a clear picture of the production line logic in which economically required modes of transport to slaughter and disassembly line speeds lead inexorably to massive cruelty. To transport them to the slaughterhouse, pigs are often beaten to force them into a severely overcrowded trailer. Some fall and suffocate when others are crammed in on top of them. Even though the journey may be hundreds of miles, the pigs typically receive no food or water. These journeys often have temperature extremes. In the summer, since pigs cannot sweat, many die from heat exhaustion. In the winter, many freeze to death, or more often their bodies are frozen to parts of the unheated trucks. One transporter notes that in the winter time there are always hogs stuck to the sides and floor of the trucks. Slaughterhouse workers go in there with wires or knives and just cut out or pry the hogs loose. The skin pulls right off. These hogs were alive when we did this. According to a 2006 industry report, more than 1 million pigs die every year in these transport trucks. Another industry report notes that as many as 10% of pigs arriving at US packing plants are downers, which means that they are so ill or injured that they are unable to stand and walk on their own. These sick and injured pigs will be kicked or struck with electric prods to get them to move, and if that fails, drivers will grab their legs with winches to pull them up, often pulling their legs right off in the process. As awful as the transportation conditions may be, the pigs that die in transport may be the fortunate ones. When they arrive at the slaughterhouse, the unloading is often a witness to the sustained cruelty inherent in these pigs' short lives. having been kept basically immobile for their entire lives and fed a drug-riddled diet to make their bodies grow faster than their bone structure can handle. Their legs and respiratory systems are so weak or deformed that in most cases they cannot walk very far. When they come off the truck, they can see more open space in the herding pens than they ever have. Those that can run for the first time, mistaking the slaughterhouse pen with freedom. But some collapse and cannot get up, their bodies racked with weakness and pain. They will be dragged. A typical slaughterhouse disassembles up to 1,100 pigs an hour. That's a pig about every 3 seconds. The required speed of the slaughterhouse means that if the initial attempt, or attempts, to kill the pig, or stun it unconscious, fails, they won't stop the disassembly line to make sure the pig is dead before they start cutting it open, or before they dip it into a tank of boiling water, which is intended to soften its skin and remove its hair. For instance, the US Department of Agriculture, USDA, documented 14 humane slaughter violations at one slaughterhouse, where the USDA inspectors found pigs who were squealing after being stunned with a stun gun as many as 4 times. And as one slaughterhouse worker put it, there's no way these animals can bleed out in the few minutes it takes to get up the ramp. By the time they hit the scalding tank, they're still fully conscious and squealing. Happens all the time. While there may be farming operations or slaughterhouses in North America where these kinds of violations are rare, the cruel treatment of animals described above is not unusual, extreme, or technically criminal. Unlike fox hunting, where a relatively small number of highly affluent people become addicted to a perverse form of entertainment, factory farming is not the result of a few people engaging in sport. Rather, it is mainstream corporate America employing torture and cruelty as means of making money, lots and lots of money, for those who mastermind the factory slaughterhouses. For the unfortunate individuals, increasingly, new immigrants and migrant farm workers who have to work on these farms and in these slaughterhouses for a paltry hourly wage, it is cruelty as a means to an end. This is the business of torture. When did this system come about? Although crop farming was mechanized in the 19th century, industrial animal farming began with the large industrial slaughterhouses, especially for pigs, in the early part of the 20th century. Henry Ford got his idea for assembling automobiles from watching how industrial slaughterhouses disassembled pigs. However, it was only after World War II, when people still remembered the Dust Bowl and food shortages, that the push for a green revolution to feed a rising population, a huge availability of inexpensive farmland, a strong futurist mentality, and the desire to apply the factory model to the production of all consumer goods gave rise to factory farming. The first serious analysis of this phenomenon was in the 1964 book Animal Machines, The New Factory Farming Industry by Ruth Harrison. In the book, Harrison notes a new type of farming, of production line methods applied to the rearing of animals, of animals living out their lives in darkness and immobility without the sight of the sun, of a generation of men who see in the animal they rear only its conversion factor into human food. Harrison saw not only the fundamental transformation of an animal husbandry model to a corporate factory model, she also saw a rapid and fundamental change of culture. As she duly noted, the factory farmer cannot rely, as did his forebears, on generations of experience gained from the animals themselves and handed down from father to son. He relies on a vast array of backroom boys with computing machines working to discover the breeds, feeds, and environment most suited to convert food into flesh at the greatest possible speed, and every batch of animals reaching market is a sequel to another experiment. Although Harrison adeptly characterized the nature and logic of the factory farm system, and although her work encouraged animal welfare legislation in her home country of England, the animal welfare movement historically got little traction in America. things would get much worse in the 35 years after the publication of Harrison's book. This has changed slightly in the last decade. A few states have begun to ban gestation crates for pregnant pigs and battery cages for hens, but these victories are small in the grand scheme. That was a Catholic Concern for Animals podcast. Readings from the Ark, Spring 2022 issue. Is Making Non-Human Animals Suffer Our Worst Addiction? Essay Part 1, written by John Berkman, read by Dr. Gerald Taylor.